This morning's scripture reading comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and he eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. I never get lost. Now, sometimes don't know where I am, but I never get lost. Because it's really just a question of scale, right? That I know that I might not know what road I'm on, but I am probably still in the state of Alabama. I might not know what trail I'm on, but I'm more likely still inside the state park. It's really just a question of scale, right? So we're going to be talking about being lost and found. But this kind of struck home with us on a church staff not too long ago. How many of y'all know Preston, our youth pastor? For those of you that don't know Preston, Preston is probably the most compassionate, kind, just one of the greatest people I have ever met and had a chance to work with in my life. Probably one of the best Christians I have ever met in my life. And if you guys don't know him, I encourage you to get to know him. But there's a unique thing about Preston. Preston, in his soul, is not a part of this century. Preston is probably the oldest soul I have ever met in my life. I always make the joke that his ideal afternoon would be just be sitting in a rocking chair whittling. And the thing about Preston is he sort of gets dragged into the 21st century, whether he wants to or not. And it wasn't too long ago, we had a staff member that had an injury and was recovering at home, and the staff kind of pulled together, and we got a hot meal together, and we asked Preston, "Can you go deliver this for us?" And Preston said, "Yeah, that's fine." And y'all, he printed out some MapQuest directions. And as this is not 1998, we told him, I said, "I think it is time for you to get a GPS. Download Google Maps, use your Apple Maps or something." He had reluctantly just recently got an iPhone. And I said, "It is right in your hands, man. Just put the address right in the phone. It'll take you exactly where you need to go." And y'all, he was a little nervous about having the electronic voice tell him how to get to where he was supposed to be going. And as much as we pat him on the head, as much as we ridiculed him about it's time for him to take this next step, he agreed to let us hijack his phone. We downloaded Google Maps. We put the address in the phone, patted him on the backside, and sent him out the door on his way. And that GPS took him exactly where we told it to take him. The problem was, We forgot that person moved apartments about 2 months before. And Preston had no idea where he was. Now, we knew exactly where he was supposed to get to, but he kind of got lost along the way in our arrogance that we knew the better way to get where he was supposed to go. And so he will always be able to hold that above us, that sometimes the old paper way will still get him there just as well. Now, I have not downloaded a MapQuest in quite some time, but I imagine there are many ways that I could still find ways to get lost. Over the next couple weeks, we're talking about DNA. And it's a stewardship series where we talk about the commitments that we make to the church in our prayers, our presence, our service, our gifts, our witness. During stewardship, we talk about finances, we talk about assets, we talk about property. But more than that, we talk about opportunities and spiritual opportunities that present themselves. And over the course of this time, we talk about DNA as the smallest part of who we are that still tells the story of who we are. Our DNA tells us the story of how we've gotten here, who we are, and potentially where we're headed. And so as we believe that God is in the business of making all things new again, that we believe that it's at the very smallest levels that God can transform. And when we're transformed as who we are as disciples at this core level, the smallest possible point, God can make tremendous, can make large impacts in our families, in our church, in our community, and in the world. So we talk about our past, our present, and our future. And so as we think about where we are right now, as you heard from Eric, last week we were talking about legacy, those that kind of came on before us. Today we're talking about where we are right now. And in the scripture reading that you heard today, you heard Werner tell the story of the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. Two of my favorite parables in the Gospel of Luke. And it tells a story of something being lost, but then something being found again. And the story of what it means to search for something and for such intensity, with such obsession, that everything else sort of falls out of our mind for a moment to find the one thing that was lost. And it starts out as Jesus is telling this parable. He asks a question that, which one of you, if you had 100 sheep, wouldn't leave 99 of them to go search for the one? I don't know, I probably wouldn't. But I'm not a shepherd. I'm not really that close to what Jesus is talking about, right? But I do find it difficult to leave 99 other problems behind to go chase after one of them. Then he continues and he tells a story of a woman that had 10 coins. And she lost just one of the coins in her home. And what's significant about the parables is not that significant of amount of money. It's really just a day's wage. But that one coin caused her to turn the lights on, to toss over the cushions, to sweep under the furniture, to look through the dirt on the floor, until she finally found that one coin. And as we hear these parables, they're told in the context, in the Gospel of Luke, of the Pharisees and the authorities beginning to grumble and of murmur. And that same word, grumble and murmur, is the same murmuring that the Israelites had against Moses as they were wandering around in the desert. It's a murmuring and it's a grumbling of how in the world could we be seeing this? Could we be doing this? And murmuring and grumbling that Jesus would sit down with sinners and with tax collectors. And worse than that, he would actually share a meal with them and break bread with them and sit at a table with them. How could Jesus split off from those of us that need him the most to those that have no hope at all? And so these parables follow. And it's more than about finding something that's lost. It's about experiencing joy. the depth of God's mercy. Because the truth of the matter is God doesn't lose anything. But God loves finding things. And he loves us finding things along with him. And the story kind of finds us in such a unique moment, because what I love so much about this parable is because it is so much in the moment. That when the sheep gets lost or when the coin gets lost, the shepherd or the woman, they don't worry about everything else that is going on. They are focused on that one thing to the point that everybody else thinks it's ridiculous. But in finding that one thing, they tap into a mercy, they tap into a joy, they tap into a grace, they tap into a connection with the Almighty God that is unlike anything else in this life. And so the question that comes along with these parables are, where are we in the story? Are we what is being searched for? Are we the ones doing the searching? Are we the ones who are grumbling? Are we the ones that are annoyed that at 2 o'clock in the woman, our next door neighbor, is knocking on our door to tell us that she found a dime today? Or are we the ridiculous ones that would dare to rejoice and to celebrate and to be so incredibly happy along with them that they found what was lost and is now theirs again? I believe for our purpose this morning, there's something incredibly joyful about being a part of that crowd that finds joy together, that finds purpose together, that finds something so incredible about the mercy and the grace of God that we can't do anything else except want to share it along with others. Something that doesn't make sense to anybody else in this world except ones who know what it is like to have something that is lost to be found again. Last week we talked a little bit about where we find ourselves in the legacy of faith. We found ourselves as the inheritors of those who are holding the gospel and the opportunity to make impacts in this church, in this community, in the world. And of all those that have gone on before us, from thousands of years to Jesus, and before that, all the way to the dawn of creation. Those that have lived the story of faith and of hope, and we here in Alabaster are holding that in our hands and asking, what can we do more? What can we do next? I believe, like in these parables, we as a church lost something some time ago. We lost a sense of identity. And for some, we even lost a sense of purpose. And as we had our listening sessions through the end of July and the beginning of August, we heard one thing more than anything else. That it feels like we're multiple churches under one name. That we lost a sense of identity, of who we are and what we can do in this community. And I feel like, in a sense, that we're like those shepherds or that woman that have to make a decision of whether we worry about 99 other problems or we worry about this one that has gotten lost in front of us. If the temptation is to focus on the 99 other things, because the one thing will either find it again, or if nothing else, the value is insignificant enough for us to really miss it. But we're not just missing the value of what we've lost. We're missing the joy and the mercy that comes when God helps us find it again. So I want to talk for a moment about some of those 99 other problems that stop us from looking after that one sense of identity that we've lost along the way. So last week, we talked a little bit about the finances of the church, and we talked about some cash flow issues. That when we decided to expand the property of the church, we began a process of trying to sense what God was doing with us. And when we extended our when we expanded our property, we entered into a period of cash flow problems. But because the church had so much cash on hand, that the reality was that the church didn't experience some of those cash flow problems till about 7 years later, where all of a sudden we had to decide what to do with the restored property. And in 2016, the church voted to sell the end caps and to just keep this worship space right here. And through the process of that sale, that allowed us to pay off so much debt that we had. But in paying the taxes on that sale, it required us to liquidate an investment account that left the church with no financial cushion. And so the church has been struggling through this reality for the last couple of years of how do we balance effective ministry with the resources that enable us to balance expenses versus income. And it's been a very difficult process. And I feel like we felt this at the smallest levels of who we are as a church. As we look at the budget for the children's ministry and the youth ministry, as we talked about Preston, what he adds as a Christian to this church, what he adds as a staff person, is he has allowed us to have an extremely effective ministry for the youth that has only used a little bit over 25% of their budget for the year. And this is seen in our children's ministry, this is seen in our outreach, as incredible leaders have made it work for so long. But it's not a sustainable way to live. And as we look at giving over the life of the church, it's hard to talk about the numbers because the numbers are so different depending on which families give. That if we look at the fact that we have 1,000 active participants or members in the church, that looks very different. One example that I had is when I was at Pell City, I had a worship service that I was in charge of in the modern worship space. And we averaged about 85 to 90 people in that worship service. But as I looked at the attendance pads, and as I went down the list, and I added names as they visited, I added people as they came on different weeks, a worship service that averaged 85 people had about 495 unique people that came throughout the year. And so the 400 that we'll see on the first Sunday of the month is in a lot of ways different than the 400 that we'll see on the third or the fourth Sunday of the month. And so if we look at 1,000 active participants or regular attenders that have come to worship throughout the life of the church, about 440 of those people have given anything at all to the church, $1 or more. And of about the 440, about 140 of those have given $1,000 or more in a year. And so the church budget operates on a little over 100 people giving in a year, a church budget of about $900,000. Now, that budget 3 years ago was $1.3 million. You begin to see how these cash flow issues and some of these struggles financially have come to a point that we are at a unique point in the life of the history of the church. Because again, like we said last week, that these look like financial problems and financial struggles, but they present spiritual opportunities. And we as leaders have decided that what would happen if during this stewardship season, we began to look for that one thing rather than focus on the 99 other things, just for a moment to see if we can recapture a small part of what we could have lost along the way. And so what we've been looking at is an identity of the church, who we are at the very smallest level, the DNA of the church that has brought us to where we are, and the DNA that will help carry us into the future. And what we've come to see is that we are one church who is united and wanting to make a difference in this community and in this world, to be a place to where families can come and they can receive truth and they can receive the life of the very Word of God, and where we will care for each other and lift each other up, and we will join together and unite together to go out into this community to make incredible things happen in this world. And so you're going to start to see the name United in Alabaster showing up in all sorts of places. It's going to show up on the commitment cards that you picked up today. It's going to start to show up on the website as we start to find ways that we can revamp that. It's going to show up in the worship bulletins. This morning, it's going to be unveiled over in the traditional worship service. But one other place that it's going to be unveiled that you'll see is a new church app that we've developed. And this church app is a way that you can stay connected to groups and small groups that are going on in the life of the church. It'll be a place that you can check in for worship services. You can sign your children in for children's ministry. It'll be a place that you can pull up and share with neighbors, with members of your community to show them some small groups, some Sunday school classes, the location of the church, some worship times. It'll be a place that you can give financially. And so I want to give you a small taste of that church app and let you know where you can download that. And I've got a small video that Brandy's going to play for us.
Hey, church family, it's Pastor Arthur. I wanted to give you just a quick demonstration of how easy it is to download our new church app. I have an iPhone. If you have an Android, you can follow a similar process. But I am going to go to my app store. I've typed in Church Center. You can download the Church Center app. Once that's downloaded, if you open it up, you can search by your location, which is what I typically do, or you can search using the church name and the church location. You'll see a lot of different community churches in our area that use this app. The first one that pops up, if you search by location, is United Alabaster, Alabaster First United Methodist Church. You can go ahead and click on that, say this is my church. It's going to send you some information to log in. So what I'm going to do is click Next. I'm going to enter my phone number, so it will send me a text. That text, when it pops up, I'm just going to enter it straight from my messages, and then continue. I like to enable my Face ID, so I'm going to go ahead and enable that, and allow it to send me notifications, and you'll be opened up in your app. You'll see worship times, you'll see the church location and address. You'll find a couple other features on here that are really good to know. You can give electronically directly to the church. So if I wanted to give a donation of $20, I just type 20. Next, you can set a frequency if you want this to be an automatic donation every week, every other week, monthly, twice monthly. I already have the app for some time and I donate electronically typically, and so my information is already in here. Because I'm already set up as a member of the church in our membership database. Remember to donate most commonly to the general fund. That's the best way that you can support the ministry here in the life of the church for children's ministry, youth ministry, and outreach. So I'm going to go ahead and click Next. It'll take me to it and ask me if I want to give $20 to the general fund. Give now. And just like that, donation is sent. And I will get a notification directly from them once they get that. Some of the other features that you can see in the app is you can go to groups at the bottom. These are all the groups that I have leadership in. You can go ahead and look at Sunday school groups for children's ministry, youth ministry, adult ministries. You can go ahead and look at some of the other small groups that we offer, from Sundays to Wednesdays to church choir. All sorts of interesting groups that you can ask to join or you can share with some other people. Or you can check into an event. If you've got kids and you'd like to check into our children's ministry before you get to church, you can go ahead and check in and you will get a QR code that you can then scan at the scanner and your labels will print as soon as you show up. We don't have any events right now to check into, and so I won't be checking into those. But just a quick and easy way to give electronically to the church, to look at some of our small groups. We've got links here for phone number, email, and a website for the church. And just a great way to have some information that goes on in the life of the church. I appreciate you letting me give you this quick demonstration of how easy it is. If you've got any questions, feel free to talk to myself, one of the other pastors or staff. We'll go ahead and help you walk through that process as well. But hope you all have a great rest of the morning in worship, and we'll talk with you soon.
So one of the ways that we've seen this connecting our identity is allowing our members to connect across the ministries of the church, right through a church app, but also through our commitments that we give. So you might have received in the mail, or you might have received when you came into worship today, a financial commitment card. And what we're doing is we're committing ourselves to the life of the church, on one side to our service, finding a place to serve, our prayers, praying for the ministries of our church, presence, joining a small group, which is now easier than ever, and our witness, sharing my faith with others. And then on the backside is thinking and praying about our financial commitments. And when we think about the opportunities that God is presenting us here at the church, we've realized that talking about things in terms of a tithe is very difficult. As the two full-time pastors in the church realize what it's like to have tens of thousands of dollars of student loan debt just coming out of seminary, we realize how difficult it is to talk about tithing and to giving financially to the life of the church. But some ways that we have found ourselves experiencing mercy, that we've been experiencing the way that God shows up and using us together as a united alabaster, is understanding what even just a very small gift would represent in the life of the church. That if we only have 140 people that give $1,000 or more, or we only have 440 people that have been able to give anything at all to the life of the church, that leaves a significant amount that we'd like to say, if there's even a small gift that we might be able to offer, that if there is 200 people that were able to give $20 a month or an increase of $20, just 200 people would represent an increase to our budget of $48,000 a year. Just $20 a month. A gift of $40 a month or an increase of $40 a month would represent $96,000 and would nearly fund our budget. And an increase of $100 or a gift of $100 a month by 200 people is $240,000. That would revolutionize the way that ministry is done here in this church, in this community, and would allow us to fund some of those amazing visions and stories that we unearthed during our listening sessions of what it looks like to have ministries for the Latino population, what it looks like to outreach into veterans ministries, what it looks like to have partnerships with the school systems to help update and renovate our church sanctuary, to help begin a build out and the continuation of the ministry here at Restore in incredibly powerful ways. With just one small gift a month, that when we all commit to do that small thing together, we begin to see that God can unleash incredible potential here in the life of the church. And again, we talk about this in terms of finances, but even more than that, we ask for your prayers. We ask for your presence. And we thank everybody who has given anything to the life of the church, from a dollar or more to the person that comes and volunteers at Vacation Bible School, to the person that comes and helps in the office, to the person that comes and donates to Grace Ministry, or simply comes desire to let us to know that they are praying for us in the life of the church every Thursday afternoon in our prayer group. Every small bit of presence, every prayer, every gift is felt dramatically in the life of the church and makes a difference in the life of someone. And together, when we uncover this sense of purpose, when we come together to do something incredible, to renew a commitment to see what God is up to here in Alabaster, we experience what it's like to find that mercy and that joy. And it's more than just a day's wage. It's more than just the value of a sheep. It is the life of God erupting inside of us that says, God is still here with us and is not done with us yet. And we all get to be a part of that. The unfolding of the very life of God here at Alabaster. And so during this stewardship season, I ask as you go forth today that you begin to pray for how you would like to be transformed at even the very smallest of levels in who you are, the DNA of who you are as a disciple, of what it means to begin to share your faith with others, to begin to join a small group or a Sunday school class and to join in relationship with others, even though it's one of the hardest steps to take, or to commit to be a volunteer here in our worship service or during the week and to take that step of what it means to be a disciple, to be a part of a united alabaster here in the life of our church. That God can do incredible things through our DNA and where we are today, setting up on where we're headed in the future. As we begin to wrap up in worship service and as the band starts to come forward today, I want to pray for us as a church. So let's bow our heads. Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for your life and for your presence. Lord, we give you thanks for that moment that we are the lost coin or we are the lost sheep and you did not give up on us yet. Allow us to find the different parts of the story that we can be those who search for your mercy and of your goodness. But of those that are so focused that for a moment today we can put aside all the other distractions and be here in this moment and ask, how can you help us to find our identity and our purpose again? That you might prepare such an incredible work, Lord, that as we find it together as a united alabaster, Lord, that we erupt in the very joy and the very life of the kingdom and knowing that you are here with us today and that you never lose anything. But Lord, you enjoy finding things so much. Help us to experience that kingdom, that commitment, and that life as we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.